The Predators are back on the ice for opening night in Smashville, 26 hours from right now. Tomorrow night at 7 at Bridgestone Arena, the Predators host the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tomorrow at 4, that's 23 hours from now, we will see you on the Bridgestone Arena Plaza for the annual Player Gold Walk at 4 o'clock. Opening night in Smashville, nothing like it. Clean slate. New season. Let's talk about it. Starting right now for the next 2 hours, it's the Nashville Predators season preview show on your exclusive radio home for Preds hockey, 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Herz from Preds Radio, joined for the next 2 hours by Predators TV voice and 102.5 The Game's finest, Willie Donick. Hello, Willie D.
Hello. I am excited for Hockey Eve right here. I am ready for this game. This is... I don't know what this is. It's they're a big underdog, right? If you look around the league, there's not a lot of optimism from the outsiders who are picking the standings and everything like that. I didn't expect there to be, but I'm just very curious. I think this season can go a lot of different directions for the Predators. If you heard Barry Trotz on our show yesterday at this time, which he will join us every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, you could feel the optimism, especially for the young players. He also thinks that the second year for the big free agents that all kind of flopped last year will be quite a bit better. The question isn't really can they be better, because they can't slip much lower. Everything that could go wrong went wrong last year. It's how much better can they be this year? That is the question for 25-26.
Willie Donick will be here for the next 2 hours. Also joining us from D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick here on 102.5 The Game, Adam Vingan is with us for the preview show tonight, his Preds preview show debut. Hi, Adam.
Does that make me 102.5 The Game's second finest, if Willie is the finest?
You're somewhere else on the list.
That's nice.
Thank you. I have to compliment Derek Mason while I'm sitting in his very comfy chair, so D-Mace is probably ahead of you, too.
But... by the way, do not take chair out of the studio. According, D-Mace has written that in Sharpie.
He wrote on Sharpie in his office chair.
Yes.
That's how much it needs to not go anywhere. But he let me sit in it, which is so nice. We're going to have some fun over the next 2 hours. We will be taking your calls and texts, 615-737-1025, same as during any normal talk show. Texts especially are encouraged. We may not have time to take a ton of phone calls, but any Preds questions you have for the crew, we have plenty of guests lined up coming up in about 10 minutes. At 5:15, Predators head coach Andrew Brunette will join us for an interview. At 5:30, Hal Gill from Preds Radio and Preds TV will join us for an interview. Then at 6 o'clock, we will hear some of the best clips from Barry Trotz's interview here on 102.5 The Game yesterday. And at 6:30, we will hear from the voice of the Predators and soon-to-be Golden Hall member Pete Weber at 6:30. We'll be on the air from 5 to 7 to start the Wednesday night hockey block here on the Predators season preview show. A whole lot to talk about. And storyline number one, it is happening. We kind of felt it happening for a while, but today the words came out of the head coach Andrew Brunette's mouth for sure. 18-and-a-half-year-old Brady Martin, the fifth overall pick in the NHL draft this summer by the Preds, will make his NHL debut tomorrow night on opening night at Bridgestone Arena, playing top line center in between Philip Forsberg, the leading goal scorer in franchise history, and Ryan O'Reilly, one of the most accomplished centers in the entire NHL today. Pretty incredible that he made the team. It's going to be game by game to see how it goes, how many games he'll play, whether he plays just a few, whether he gets all the way to the 9 he can play without burning the first year off his entry-level contract, or if he plays well enough to stay longer than that.
I'll admit, I did not think Brady Martin would be on this team's opening night roster when training camp began. We talked a lot about this over the summer after the Predators drafted Brady Martin with the number 5 overall pick. Rarely in recent history do number 5 overall picks stick with their teams for significant amounts of time in the year that they're drafted. Now, as Max, you just said, the Predators are going to take it game by game. They can play him up to 9 games before deciding to either send him back to junior or to burn a year off of his entry-level contract. So just because he's on the opening night roster and making his NHL debut tomorrow night does not mean he is here for the entire season. But the fact that he is going to be playing tomorrow night is not something I would have predicted when training camp began. By the way, Brady Martin will be the second youngest Predators player at the time of his NHL debut. Scott Hartnell, roughly 25 years ago, was the youngest. Brady Martin now number two on that list.
I'd say those guys actually have pretty similar personalities. I think they'd be friends.
Max, you've been around him some. What is his personality like? We heard all about on draft night that, you know, he grew up on a farm. He famously stayed on the farm and did his normal farming routine instead of going to the draft.
Chorin.
But now that he's been around, what have you seen from him?
I think he is almost a perfect balance, especially at his age, between serious about the game and having his priorities straight and hockey comes first, with also being fun-loving and not being afraid to show his personality around. First, we saw it in the rookie camp with his junior teammate Andrew Gibson, who's going to start the season in Milwaukee, one of the Preds' top defenseman prospects. Those guys were having the time of their lives at rookie camp. They were letting their personalities shine. They were leading the way. They were vocal. They were fun. They were loud. And it was interesting to see, is Brady Martin still going to be able to make some noise when he's got guys 15, 17 years older than him in the locker room? And I think the fact that he spent a couple of nights in Philip Forsberg's house staying with him before training camp started, I think that gave him the final vote of confidence he needed. It's okay to be myself. It's okay to be out of my shell. And you know what? Those things are going to help him make the team. And I think they have.
I thought it was apparent, and I didn't get this verified by anybody, just my observation, the way they were using him, what role they were using him in, and how he looked, that it was quickly apparent, especially with Evangelista holding out, and then eventually Matthew Wood got hurt, that it was clear that they were going to at least keep him around for the 9-game area. But I think the conversation has now advanced past that, and we are quickly moving on to what happens after he plays 9 games. And so the next step would be, does he play well enough that they are going to want to keep him in there every night? Like, is he one of their 12 best? Because we've seen players at young ages, they can flash for a couple games, but I wonder how they're going to try to buy their time and space out before they have to make a very difficult decision. It'd be a lot easier if you could just swing them up and down to Milwaukee throughout the year, but they can't do that. So this is a very important decision that Barry Trotz is going to carefully make, and we'll get Andrew Burnett's perspective on it here soon.
Yeah, and I'll push back on you, Willie. I don't think I'm there yet. I'm not thinking anything beyond 9 right now.
Yeah.
I don't think 9 is a guarantee.
And that's what I think would have been the overwhelming probability before the season started, right? Best case, he stays around for 9 games, right? But if so you think that that's very likely going to happen still?
I think it's, yeah. I think it's definitely at least 50% chance that he gets to 9. But I think it really is game by game. Yeah.
You're saying they could drop, they could send him back before he
plays 9. I am
nowhere
near thinking about a double digit number yet.
Okay.
I think it largely depends on how the Predators start the season. The Predators have gotten off to some rough starts over the past couple of years. If the Predators get off to another rough start this season, my gut tells me that the Predators will send Brady Martin back to junior. If this team gets off to a good start and Brady Martin is contributing, then I think they consider keeping him around. The question is, how do you quantify contributing, right? Is it simply by points? Is it something that he does that isn't quantified by points? But I think it largely depends on how this team starts. If they start off well and he's playing a role in that, I know that sounds simplistic, but I do think the first couple of weeks will ultimately tell us how long he's around.
I don't think that's simplistic at all, Adam.
Thank you, Max.
I was going to say the exact calculus. It's too simple to be calculus. It's just
basic
addition,
math.
Arithmetic. Yeah. No, I really think that's it. And I think there's a shot he stays, but I think it does depend on team performance in addition to his personal performance as well.
The start of the season is more important than your normal. I mean, every game's important, right? But the start of this season is particularly important to this team based on what happened last year. They didn't like how training camp went last year, and obviously it played out into the regular season starting 0-5. So the urgency has to be there, and so that's going to be in this formula and how Brady Martin is used. So can Brady Martin help them get off to a good start? It's not just, hey, let's take a look at the kid. You can't afford to do that. You're looking to win.
Training camp has been good, and Brady Martin's been part of the reason why. We will take a break, come back, talk to Predators head coach Andrew Brunette before opening night tomorrow night in Smashville. Two-game homestand to start the season. Tomorrow night at 7 against the Blue Jackets, then Saturday night at 7 against the recently renamed Utah Mammoth to start the year. We'll be back with more after this. This is the Predators season preview show. Andrew Brunette joins us next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators season preview show. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, we are proud to be your radio home for Preds hockey. Opening night tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena. My name is Max Herz, alongside Willie Donick and Adam Vingan, and we are joined now by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette here on the show. Bruno, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. Yeah, great to be on.
We will get you in here before the Blue Jays try to close out the Yankees here in about 45 minutes. We know you've got your Treya Savage jersey on, or maybe even your Willie Donick medicine hat Blue Jays jersey on and ready to go.
That's hard to find. If he's got that, he was at some silent auction that I don't know about.
Emphasis on silent on that one for sure.
Yeah.
It wasn't that was the item that wasn't getting anybody bidding, probably. So it would have been out of charity. They probably paid Bruno to take it.
That's right.
Hey, he'd rep it proudly. All right, Bruno, let's talk some puck. Training camp seems like it's gone to your satisfaction. It's been fun to watch. The players have been upbeat. Everybody seems like they have a pretty fresh mindset, a clear mind, and ready to go. As you've worked with that, what are some of the things that you've installed or system changes with the team this year that you hope change the results for the Preds this season?
Yeah, I think one, before you get into a little bit of the little tweaks, the competitiveness of camp, I think, is the one thing that stuck out. Obviously, the influx of youth, I thought, brought a lot of energy. Having a long summer seems to revitalize a lot of our players that were here last year. So it's been a great vibe. But I really, you know, enjoyed the competition and getting to see some of our younger players and what they bring. You know, as for, you know, some tweaks in the system, a little bit of a part of it, it's a mindset. I don't think it matters what system you play. If you're not in the right mindset, it's not going to work. If you're not committed to it, it's not going to work. So I think the mindset for me was really important coming in. Obviously, lots of discussions with the players, especially the veteran leadership group, of where we want to go, where we, you know, at the end of the year, we talked about a little bit where we failed and how can we improve and where do we want to go. So I think that was the first thing, just the mindset of moving forward and how we're going to move forward. As for system changes, we you know, tweaked a few things in our defensive zone. We tweaked a few things kind of up ice a little bit. Those are the two things that really stuck out. But again, to me, it's nothing drastic or completely crazy. A little bit more emphasis of letting Juice see the puck. I think we failed them a little bit in that area, both mindset-wise and maybe a little bit systematically. You know, we had some issues clearing the front of the net for them or clearing the porch for them. Partly was the due to, you know, how many defensemen we went through and the size. So I think this year we added some size, which hopefully allow us to clean the porch a little better. Again, to me, I keep repeating it, but it doesn't really matter what system you play or what changes you make. It has to be the mindset that's there and the commitment to that mindset.
Andrew Brunette is with us, head coach for the Nashville Predators. And Andrew, after the season was over, we talked to Barry Trotz about this yesterday. He really praised you for sort of jumping out, taking the initiative of how to go through last year, as you just kind of referred to, try to fix some things, make some things better. Take us through the process of how you, behind the scenes, prepared for this training camp, because it really sounds like the energy is good and the players have responded to the adjustments.
Yeah, I think it's a collaboration. I think there's some things that the players wanted me to hear, and there's some things I wanted them to hear. And I think, again, we were growing our relationship. You know, for a chunk of them, this is our third year together, and for a couple of the other older guys, it's our second year. And we're still getting to know each other and trying to work together to get to our ultimate goal. But I think it started at the end of the year, sat with a leadership group. Again, like I said, broke down or were open conversations of what they thought and what I thought, and we tried to find some middle ground. And there was the non-negotiables and the things that I strictly believe in, and there's other things that I was willing to change and tweak together. And again, if we don't have buy-in, it doesn't matter what we tweak. So I think they had some ownership of it. I have ownership of it. And I think that brought the energy up, and we kind of stayed in touch all summer, making sure we understood each other and that we had a clear vision of what we wanted to accomplish and how we wanted to get there. And, you know, in September, we sat down again after a few conversations in the summer and just made sure this is where we're at. So I think we're all together. We're connected. We're unified on how we believe we need to play. We have a game plan. Now we're just putting it in action. And I thought camp, for the most part, we hit, you know, two or three of those fundamental goals we were trying to achieve and how we wanted to play. And, you know, there's still some things that we got to improve on, but I see the improvement every day and the willingness to work on those improvements. If it's systematically, if it's mindset of the value of the puck, all those things, I think, were a collaboration and a partnership with the players, also setting, I guess, non-negotiables or goals that we need to attain.
Andrew, you confirmed earlier today that Brady Martin will make his NHL debut tomorrow at the fresh young age of 18 years old. I see that you have Martin centering Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. Why Martin down the middle versus O'Reilly? And how do you intend to deploy that line, specifically Martin and O'Reilly? Because, of course, O'Reilly has a ton of experience down the middle.
Yeah, I think going right to start of the camp, I thought, you know, Marty and Phil had really good chemistry. Obviously, Woody had a tremendous start to his camp, and he got hurt. And then I just thought with O'Reilly's ability, he's played some wing in his career. Obviously, he's a centerman, but just being able to protect Brady a little bit in either the faceoffs or defensive zone, I think that's crucial as for a young player, especially getting his feet wet. And obviously, I think they feed off each other really well down low in the offensive zone. I think that's a strength of the game where they're really good at supporting each other. They're close together. They think very similarly down there. And you could see the little bit of chemistry in the games we had. And I think with, you know, Federer, Svechkov playing the way he has the latter part of camp, I think it's allowed us to experiment with this. And let's just see with Brady if he can handle the workload going forward. So far, he's stepped up to every task. And tomorrow, you know, we ramp up about 20% more than exhibition for all of us that have been around this game. It's going to, you know, it's be a big challenge for him. And like I said, he's rose to the occasion every time, and I expect him to do it again. And I don't think having Ryan O'Reilly beside you, really to lean on, to listen to watch, to help, it'll be instrumental in Brady's success this year if he's able to, you know, keep his level that he's at right now.
Predators coach Andrew Brunette is our guest here on the season preview show on 102.5 The Game. It's so great to have Roman Josi back, doing Josi things, getting the treatment he needs after his POTS diagnosis. What's it been like for you, Bruno, watching him this camp get back on the horse?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we never know where it was going to go at the end of last year. And for our whole coaching staff to see him back, and not just back, but refreshed, excited, I think feeling very comfortable that he's come up with the solution that some of the things that bothered him. And I think he feels confident with that. And it showed on the ice right from the start. His fitness is always off the charts, but I just think the jump he had, you know, that even in practice where he looks like Jost again. And last year, obviously he dealt with it a little bit before he had to shut it down. And I think it was bothering him. And this year I see a free Roman that he's, you know, he's not thinking, he's just playing. And when he's doing that, he's as good as it gets in the game.
We're talking to Andrew Brunette. And Andrew, one theme that we're hearing, and you just mentioned the dynamic between a Brady Martin and a Ryan O'Reilly. I've noticed Svechkov playing with Stamkos a lot. You've got Willsby and Josi playing together some. You've got these young, youthful, enthusiastic talents who are just scratching the surface, and then you've got these veterans that have been through a lot and won a lot over the course of their career. What's that dynamic been like to watch?
Well, I think it goes back to a little bit of the mindset of the collaboration and the open conversations with our veterans, that this is where we're at right now. And for us to move forward, we're going to need our youth to grow. And that's hard at different times, but our leadership group's been great. They've accepted the challenge with open arms. And I think it's proven all through camp and all those situations you just talked to. You know, they've been able to help whoever they're playing. And, you know, talked about Phil quite a bit, you know, how Phil's handled, you know, even Brady and Matthew Wood, you know, bringing Brady into his house and talking to him right from the first day of exhibition game. And you kind of take that for granted. But I think being, you know, being a player at one point, being a young player, to have a guy like Phil spend time with you, talk to you, have patience with you, it just goes a long, long way in your development. And I think it accelerates it. And, hey, we're going to need these kids, you know, and I'm not even, there's even the Zach LaRues and the Kemmys and the Weisblatts. They're all real close too, and they're going to be parts of this team this year. So we're going to need all hands on deck. But again, it goes back to the mindset and the buy-in of our older players that they're willing to take on this leadership role, take on these young kids, because they understand we're going to need them and their youth and energy throughout the season, especially being a shorter, you know, where the Olympic break kind of season is going to be very condensed. So it speaks to, again, to our, the relationship that we've built over the summer and their understanding and buy-in that we're going to have to do this, and they're all in.
You've got Luke Evangelista now back with the team. He's got the new contract. I don't know if there's a change in his immigration visa status. I know that's been up in the air, but what's the process been like to try to get him acclimated and catch up?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you're jumping on a speeding train, especially when you're trying to catch up to a speeding train, especially as tomorrow rolls around. But Luke's played enough games, you know, he'll be fine. We're just trying to get him in practice, used to the pace. You know, I think he was practicing with the London Knights and, you know, a little bit of junior hockey. And you know, this is just a little bit of a different pace, a little bit different animal when it comes to puck battles and stick strength. And the one thing he has going for him is in outstanding physical shape. I mean, I think he scored the highest in our camp and some of the bike things we were doing. And he looks great on the ice. So he looks as good as I've seen him this part of the year. I think he's historically been a slower starter. To me, he's skating really good. He's really, you know, amped up the play, and hopefully we get this visa thing figured out here the next couple of days.
Bruno, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to seeing you out there in Smashville tomorrow night for opening night.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. See you tomorrow.
That's Predators head coach Andrew Brunette joining us to get things started on the Predators season preview show tonight.
Let's hope that the Jays take care of business tonight so he's not distracted for the Game 5. He doesn't want to have to watch the scoreboard tomorrow.
Hey, it's an off day either way tomorrow. Everything lines up perfectly.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about it. So he's, well, so Game 5 would be Friday? Oh, he's right? It's all lined up either way then. My bad.
I was going to suggest one of the iPads on the bench. He could turn to the Jays
Do they
game.
Have to?
But I guess he doesn't have to now.
It's all good. He's hoping the Jays take care of it tonight.
They will play in half an hour. The Blue Jays and Yankees will. And I believe that game is going to be on 94.9 The Fan. Is that correct?
That sounds right.
I'm not sure, but I think it might be. All right. We will talk to Hal Gill coming up next, bringing in our big defenseman from Preds Radio and Preds TV here on the Predators Season Preview Show. Max Serz, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, and you here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the Predators Season Preview Show here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Max Herz from Preds Radio, along with Willie Donick from Preds TV and D-Mace Fingan and Donick with Adam Vingan from D-Mace Fingan and Donick. Just had Predators head coach Andrew Brunette on the show. What'd you think of what we heard, Willie?
I think the big theme is partnership and having the players take ownership. Those that follow the Titans know that there was a big story that, and if you listen to our show on DVD, we talked about a story that Albert Breer had recently, that Brian Callahan had a meeting with his veteran group, and he had them air grievances, he had them talk about what they want to see better, and that was sort of the idea, that he wanted to make sure there was a buy-in, and everybody took accountability. It sounds like to me, and Adam, let's see how many similarities did you hear from Andrew Brunette over the summer, where he said he had talks with the veterans throughout the summer. He wanted buy-in, he wanted ownership, and it sounds like Andrew Brunette was willing to adjust how they played, But he basically said, look, if you want to play this way, I need a full buy-in of what we're looking for.
Time now to go to our phone line.
I will answer that question, but first let's get to Hal Gill.
To talk to the man who was just on this radio station 1 hour ago for Silly Underdog Picks, selected the BC Eagles to beat Clemson, and now we get to welcome Hal Gill back to talk about his sport of choice as we ship it back up to Boston. Hi, Skillsy.
That song just follows Massholes around everywhere. And
It is definitely the theme of the Massholes.
And to be clear, for those of you listening, he said Masshole with an M.
Massachusetts, just to be clear. Born, Massachusetts bred. I'm proud of it. And we hold that title with a ton of respect.
And Hal Gill is first on the list for that one. All right, Skillsy, let's talk some puck. Preseason has come and gone. What have you thought of what the Preds have shown?
I'm intrigued. I think there's a lot of great storylines. We're talking about what are we going to talk on the air and on TV and radio, and there's so many things to talk about. First of all, I think the most important thing that maybe gets skipped over by a lot of other things is Roman Josi is back and he's healthy, and I feel like he looks just as good as ever, which is a huge fresh breath air for a lot of fans that were looking at it going, whoa, what do we do? What does this team do without Roman Josi? So that's checks one box. I think you look at the veterans, and I think they have a chip on their shoulder. They have something to prove. I think you look at training camp and how they played in preseason games and the way they acted. I think there's a lot of guys like O'Reilly, Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault, Shea, like these guys are digging in. And I feel like they were kind of embarrassed by last year, and I think probably rightfully so. They should have been embarrassed, but they have something to prove. And then they got a bunch of young guys that are kind of nipping at it. And we looked at Joachim Kemmel, who we're saying, hey, who's going to step up and take this? And what a statement he made in the last preseason game, running Svechnikov and then scoring a big goal in overtime. Like, that excites me. Like, I love that. I like watching Ozzie Weisblatt go out there and stir it up and cross-check a guy and get in the mix. I like watching guys like Wood, go out and showcase his skills, that he's got talent and he deserves to be here. And then the biggest story, I think, that is Brady Martin. Looked like Forsberg and O'Reilly, and what an awesome experience for him. And I'm excited to see what he can do with it. He's still young. He's going to make mistakes, but I think he's got a huge upside, and we're going to see what it's all about tomorrow night. So, all in, and then you add in the coaches, with Luke Richardson joining, I feel like he's got a pulse for the team now, and he's ready to give his knowledge, and Brunette making some tweaks and becoming a better coach every day. I'm hoping this all comes together and gives us a great season. I'm incredibly optimistic.
Hal, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Carolina Hurricanes play a unique defensive system. That's where Brady Shea came from. So we were expecting an adjustment when Shea left Carolina and joined the Predators. And it looked like he struggled to adjust over the course of the season. I think Brady Shea's struggles maybe didn't get the attention that they should have just because of Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. But what did you see from Shea last year? How optimistic are you that he is fully integrated into what Brunette wants to do? I also want to ask you about that pair with Shea and Nick Perbix. That pair intrigues me. What do you like about the makeup of that pair?
Yeah, I think basically what we have to do is break down the defensive structure. Carolina is man to man, and they're up ice man to man. Brady Shea was up on a guy in the neutral zone, and that's his guy for the most part. If there's a switch, if something happens, you adjust. But the majority of the time, you're on a guy. You take away his time and space. You try to get a pin. And then you pick up the puck and you go. And it's a suffocating game, but if you get beat, there's no layers of protection. And so you don't have a center supporting you. You don't have the weak side D cheating down and shrinking the zone. And so you don't really have a safeguard if you do get beat. And sometimes when you're playing the best teams, you're going to get beat. The best players in the NHL are going to beat players, and that's where the breakdowns happen. So you switch to a zone where I think the Preds were last year, was kind of a fronting zone where they were trying to be quick onto the offensive, and so cheating on it and kind of shrinking the zone with the intention of pushing and trying to get out of the zone and trying to create fast breaks and at times cheating on it and having the forwards cheat. And when you have a breakdown with that, as quick as you can go to offense, you can very quickly turn into a grade A scoring chance against or a 2-on-1 against. And so I think what they've done now is simplified. It was awesome listening to Perbix and Haig talk last night on Smashville Live with Max. They talked about it. Like, it's a zone. You have the ability to be aggressive within that zone, but then you retreat back and you can come back and you can box out and you can hold body position. You're not cheating to try to create offense. You're staying on your guy in that zone. So it's a little less running around. Now, that means maybe a little bit more work for the centerman because he's got to support defensively, and he's not as quick to go on the offense. But I think if they figure this out and they get quick stops in a zone mentality, they're going to get those fast breaks, and they're going to be there. And so I think Brady Shea has gone through the adjustment of going from Carolina to what Bruno's system was last year, and now he's taken it to a kind of a tweaked system of Bruno's system now. And so I'm excited to see how he goes. I think he's got another level of comfort. Don't forget, he moved, and there's a lot that went into last year. So I think this year, coming off the World Championships and feeling good about the end of the season, having a summer to kind of come back and be ready to go, I'm hoping we see Brady Shea that we know is one of the best defensemen, two-way defensemen in the game. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that final adjustment and that final tweak.
Hal Gill is with us. So, Hal, on DVD, we always have Derek Mason as the wide receiver translator. A lot of what you just said, I was fascinated. I listened last night to you and Max talk to the two Nicks, right? Nick Perbix, Nick Haig. So if you put all that, as you explained, in there, I think everybody concluded last year defensively that was a big, big problem. We know they didn't score enough goals. That was its own problem. But defensively is probably arguably a little easier to fix or has to get better. How much different do you think it will look? How much different does it look to you how they are defending this year in the training camp compared to last year?
I think, and don't forget, everyone kind of looking at, hey, the defensive structure fell apart. It was really good the year before. Like, they started to click, and they had some success with Bruno's system, and it really started to come together, and they were moving into the neutral zone quicker than ever. You know, they were transitioning, they get a stop, and they were going. And I think that's when you notice that Bruno's system was working, it was going. The problem is, it wasn't clean enough, and you have to be really clean to run that system. This, I don't think they're going to have to be as clean. I think they can make mistakes and have the safeguard. They're going to have layers to protect the front of the net. And I think ultimately what this system is going to do, I think you're going to see Juice seeing a lot more pucks. And I think that's important for a guy who's not just a shot blocker back there. He's a smaller guy. He's quick. If he sees it, he's going to stop it. But there's a lot of times last year where he didn't see the puck. There is traffic in front. I think you're going to see more box outs, and you're going to see more, if you keep it on the perimeter and finally you get a shot on net, Juice is going to be able to stop it. And so I think you're going to see, I'm hoping you're going to see with the Preds a lot more of a vision, a sight line on pucks for Juice. And so he's going to have an easier time making those saves, and there won't be those breakdowns where they're cheating. I think it's just a little change in mindset as well, where you're a little more confident in take care of the defensive zone and worry about offense when you get to it. You know, like, just make sure you defend well in the defensive zone and be creative in the offensive zone. Be creative through the neutral zone. Make your plays there, but don't rush to get to that. take care of your defensive end, and then you can take care of the game from there. And I think that's pretty much the mindset, and the systematic change is going to be more of that.
Hal, before we let you go, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I'm a nerd, okay? And
no.
Right?
No way.
So I will be honest with you.
What
a thought. Right. I will be honest with you, Hal. When the Predators traded for Nick Hague and signed him to the contract that they did, I got a little queasy because I rely on analytics for these sorts of things. And Nick Hague, and you can throw Nick Perbix in there as well, they're not what we would call analytics darlings. Nick Hague is a big guy. Nick Perbix is a big guy. You're a big guy. I want your opinion on this. I want you to quantify the value of Hague and Perbix, and I know that Hague isn't going to be playing for at least the next month, but I want you to quantify the value of Hague and Perbix in helping the Predators defensively. That isn't just me looking at numbers on a spreadsheet.
I think, first of all, I appreciate analytics, and I understand how they work, but there's also something to be said for, like, I'm a player going down. I'm not going to try to beat this monster that's 6'6 and is going to cross-check me and is going to beat me up and take me to the boards. They're not even going to try, and I think there's something to be said for that. Like, I'm going to go around. I'm not going to try to shoot through this guy. He's too big. And so a lot of the analytics, I think, don't even happen because, you know, just their presence. You know, I always said, like, that was a Brent Burns effect. Like, you're going down and you see this toothless guy with a huge beard and he's massive. There's no analytics for, oh, God, that guy's a monster. And so I think there's something to be said for that. But if you look at what – and we'll break it down to Perbix. I think he plays a simple game. He's good positionally. He's got a good stick. And I think he simplifies the game for everyone around him. And so I don't know how much the analytics can drive. Like, how does a centerman feel playing with him? How does a winger feel playing with him? If they go back for a puck – how predictable is that play going to be? And a lot of that, I think, is what Perbix does really well is he stays in his lane. He's not going to wander too much. He's going to keep it simple. He's playing with Brady Shea, who I think complements that well, where, you know, Brady can feel a little bit more free to move and know that Perbix will back him up. And I think they have a good little bit of good mojo going right now where they can predict what each other is going to do. And that's only in a short period of time that I've been watching him. So I think that's good about Perbix. The big thing I watch with Hague is he's a big body. He's got a great reach. He uses his size extremely well. He can be physical and he gets box outs in front of the net. The big thing, what I really like is the way he distributes the puck and the way he holds the puck. And he doesn't like in the games we saw, he didn't just throw it over to Yost, although that's an easy play. Anytime you can do that, it's a one-man breakout, right? You give it to Yost, and the puck's going to get out. But what I really liked is he held on to the puck. He took the extra second, and what I couldn't do and what he does really well, and the reason why I think he makes the money he does is because he can pull it and change the angle and hit the weak side winger or hit the strong side winger, bump it to the center. He makes that little play. Roman Josi sees that. Now Roman Josi is going with the forwards, and now you have kind of a four-man attack that I think you're going to see a lot of what Hague does is create that. And he might be the one breakout pass that you wouldn't notice, but there's going to be more of a I think you're going to see more four-on-threes and with Roman Josi joining the rush because a winger gets it, bumps it to the center. Now they're attacking, and Roman Josi's up in the play. And I think you're going to see that, which we talked about for years, is the Preds want Roman Josi to distribute the puck, get it up, and then join the rush and not lead it all the time. I think with Nick Hague, I think he's going to do that just because he's got the confidence and the skill to make those little plays. And I think that is kind of – you don't see it too much in bigger guys like that because guys like me, I want to get rid of the puck. I want to move it quick. And I think Hague has that extra little
touch on his pass and a little talent and a little more patience, and he makes those plays. And so defensively he's sound and he does all those things well, but that little bit that gets Roman Josi up into the rush is going to be a game changer.
Great stuff, Skillsy. Looking forward to more conversations like this all season long.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping that we get a good run. I mean, we got two games at home. Hey, can you guys talk about I'll get off the phone, but I want you guys to talk about how exciting it is. Last year, remember, there was a long homestand, and the guys didn't get out on the road. I think this is a great schedule. We're going to get two games at home. The boys are going to go through Eastern Canada. They're going to bond. They're going to go to Montreal. They're going to go to Toronto. They're going to have to battle wins out on the road. And for some of the new guys, it's going to be their first. They're roping and riding on the road. And I think that's going to be a good team bonding thing. And I think it's going to be a big difference from what we saw last year.
Hal Gill, bonding coordinator on the road. I love it. This is it.
You got that right, Willie.
Skillsy, we will see you in Smashville tomorrow. Thanks again.
Looking forward to it. Cheers, boys.
Hal Gill, who we are lucky to have on Preds Radio and Preds TV, breaking down the Preds decor and so much more. We'll be back after this on the Predators Season Preview Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is the Predators Season Preview Show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Max Herz, along with Willie Donick and Adam Vingan. And we have some text questions talking Preds hockey on our phone line, presented by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Matthew from Jolton wants to know, who gets the edge between Joakim Kemmel and Luke Evangelista for the second line? So let's explain what's going on with Evangelista, who just signed last weekend his two-year, $6 million contract after what could be described as tense negotiations between his representation and the Predators. But the contract is done, but he is awaiting immigration. So why don't we fill in Matthew and others on what's happening with Evangelista and what that can mean for the lineup tomorrow?
Yeah, I think if he immediately had immigration settled, I think it would have been an interesting thing to see based on how Kemmel played, especially in that last game. He had about as good a stretch as you can have in an overtime, where he had this amazing hit that made its rounds across the league, draws a penalty, and then scores with his best weapon, which is one-timer. So that was a great exclamation point.
That was Joakim Kemmel's roster-making moment.
Yes, no doubt about it. And so if there were no immigration, then I think if it was between those two, and it wasn't necessarily, right, because you could put somebody on a fourth line and maybe Ozzy Weisblatt rotates off, but Weisblatt has had a good camp as well, that would be a discussion. But this visa thing is a real thing. It's different this year than it has been before. It's taking longer. I mean, you would think a guy that's been with the Predators and is from Canada, it wouldn't take this long. But you heard Andrew Burnett just a few minutes ago say that he's not sure what it will be settled by tomorrow. He said the next couple of days is what he said. So you're sort of at the mercy of the people that do this to grant you the clearance to play. I think Evangelista, it was encouraging for me, Max, to hear that Andrew Burnett said he came in tremendous shape, because now it's just acclimating to the speed of the game.
Well, Evangelista said that he felt he had the best training summer of his life at any level of hockey, working on his speed, his endurance, his conditioning. He changed a lot of things up. He got a new skills coach. He worked out in a new gym. He had a new fitness routine. He changed his nutrition up in a lot of ways, Evangelista said as well. So I think he knew last year was not good enough, and a lot of things had to change, and he's playing a little bit from behind here. And I think, assuming he does not get the clearance to play that he needs from immigration and the visa requirements in the next 24 hours, Joakim Kemmel gets first serve here. And he had that incredible moment in preseason, and that's a moment that gets you a spot in the opening night lineup. And maybe Evangelista gets his visa the next day, and it's only one game, but I think Kemmel gets the first shot at it. He's been here the whole time, and I think with that roster-making moment on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena in the preseason finale, I think he deserves it.
And I would say, Adam, that Evangelista is still considered a young player. He's 23, but he seems a lot older than the Kemmels and the Woods, because a couple years, he's been through the 82-game grind two straight years. Kemmel has not. So I think that's a big theme of this season. What do they get from the 18 to 21-year-old age group, right? Because there's not a lot of guys on this team that are age 23 through 28.
That's a good question, Billy Donick, and that is a question that we will address coming up next, because we had Barry Trotz on the program yesterday, and he talked about the youth on the roster. So we will hear what Barry Trotz had to say, and we will continue this conversation. I'm stealing Max's job for a moment, but we will continue that conversation coming up next. Max Herz, Willie Donick, Adam Vingan for the Predators official season preview show here on 102.5 The Game.